We will be getting into a little bit of French football in the build-up to the weekend's games, talking tomorrow, of course. Last night, plenty of Premier League action taking place. Plenty to talk about in terms of Chelsea, in terms of David Luiz, in terms of their new kit as well. And I'm delighted to say a man who's going to be joining me to talk all about that now on the line is Mr. Rob Beasley. Rob, are you there, mate?
I'm very, very well. It's a rare event in England. Blue skies and a bit of sunshine.
Blue skies and sunshine. It must be to do with Chelsea's new kit being launched and this all-blue motif that they're doing, surely, Rob.
Yeah, no, did you see the videos and stuff and the photos that went with it? It's a pretty dramatic launch and really, really clever. You know, what do you need to know what it looks like? It's blue, that's all that matters.
It is all about blue at the moment for Chelsea with this with the advertising promotion for their new kit that was released today. But they've been saying that this shows the passion that the players have for being all blue and being all about Chelsea. Do you buy into that at all? Do you think the fans will buy into that at all?
Well, you're asking the wrong person, really, because I'm a cynical old hack. I take it all with a big dose of sugar because it's obviously a bit of PR. It's a massive PR exercise. Adidas have come up with a great idea. The players, to be fair, you watch the video, the players have thrown themselves into it completely. Gary Cahill walking through a blue waterfall, John Terry falling backwards into a pool of blue paint, a locker exploding all over Juan Mata. I mean, it's great stuff. It's a great video. There's some great still photography. It's a great advertising campaign. But I wouldn't read too much into once, as Wayne Rooney once said, once a blue, always a blue. And you know what happened there.
What about then for Fernando Torres' future? He's been one of the poster boys of this campaign. The fact that he's so heavily involved in it, the images that we've been sent today with him kind of front right in the middle of these photos of the new kit, does it show that he's probably going to be around for a little bit longer at Chelsea?
Well, we had an interview with Fernando Torres in The Sun a few days ago where he's pledging to stay on next season. He's determined to make sure that his Chelsea career is a success. He doesn't want to leave and be deemed a failure. He's actually scored, I think, 19 goals in all competitions this season. And of late, in the last 6 weeks, his performances have been very, very good. In the build-up to the FA Cup semi-final, he turned in one of his best performances of the season, scored a couple of goals, and it looked like he was really high in confidence. So I was rather surprised when he was left out the starting lineup. I know Rafa Benitez has his rotation policy, and it's very strict, and he picks his teams 2 or 3 weeks in advance. But I just thought, with Torres suddenly hitting form and looking full of confidence, it was a great opportunity to play him and keep that running. He didn't. But funnily enough, as soon as Torres came on in the Cup semi-final against Man City, Chelsea scored almost immediately and looked a different proposition from then on.
And he grabbed an assist last night down at Fulham as well for John Terry's goal. And Terry has been left out of the side recently. Are we seeing Benitez's rotation policy paying off here, do you think, then?
Well, you can argue it both ways because, as you say, John Terry's now the in-and-out skipper. So he tends to play in the less meaningful games now, away to Fulham in the Premier League or against Manchester City, the champions of England, against the champions of Europe at Wembley in an FA Cup semi-final. And there was quite a few Chelsea fans came up to me after the game last night and said, see, you leave JT out, he comes back, what happens? Scores 2 goals, we win away for the first time in ages, 3-0, our best away win for eons. JT has got to play. And you can see the argument. I mean, JT at set pieces, a real threat. I mean, I felt for Torres a little bit because he pulled off that the third goal. Great corner from Mata. Torres pulls off to the apex of the six-yard box, turns in a terrific header, which may have been going in anyway, but JT lunges in and nods it over the line just to make sure from about half a yard out. Now, the typical sort of Predators goal, got in there, made sure. So JT ends up with 2 goals. He looked lively. Torres looked lively. To be fair, the first half an hour was turgid. Chelsea have a terrible reputation this season for starting terribly poorly in the first half, and that was the same story for about half an hour last night until that goal from David Luiz, which was an absolute stonker, a real stunner. And then suddenly Chelsea got their tails up, and it was one-way traffic.
And it was Luis's 100th appearance, I believe, for the Chelsea last night. And what a way to mark it. As you say, is that goal of the season, or is Loughton's for Aston Villa the other week still just above it, do you think?
Well, the one I like about Loughton's is he's not the ball at his feet and he hits it. He has to bring it down first out of the air. He takes it on his chest, he shakes up to shoot, and he smashes it. A great technique in controlling the ball, great technique in hitting the ball and aiming it into the net. And we know it's not a fluke with Loughton because he did a similar goal against, I think it was Swansea earlier in the season.
I might be
corrected there, but
yeah, you're right there.
He has scored a carbon copy goal this season. Now David Luiz, we all know he can strike free kicks and he can strike a ball. I actually think he was much further out than Loughton. I think he's 30 yards to 20 yards. So he's got an extra 10 yards to go. And the loop and the swerve on the ball was just absolutely fantastic. The power, the movement, the precision for it to go. I mean, Mark Schwartz is no slouch in goal. He's not been playing in the Premier League for as long as he has. And as brilliantly as he has by being a dodgy keeper. He's 6'5". He couldn't get near it. It was past him like a rocket. And it is definitely a contender, not just for goal of the month, but for goal of the season. It was terrific. It was great. Even I smiled.
An absolute corker that can get a smile from a self-confessed cynical old hack like yourself, Rob. There's Juan Mata as well at Chelsea, who's obviously a man who grabs headlines whenever he puts in a great performance. People have been talking about Gareth Bale and his importance to this Tottenham side, Van Persie for United this season. Mata, though, for the last 2 years appears to have been the heart and soul of this Chelsea attack. And I think it was amazing. At one point this year, they hadn't won when Mata had started. They hadn't lost a game when Mata had played or something like that halfway through the season. How important is Juan Mata and his performances to this Chelsea side?
He is integral to everything that this new Chelsea team is trying to do. Let's not get away from it. This is a year of transition for Chelsea. They've had yet again the upheaval of a change in manager in mid-season. And they're also trying to bed in the likes of Hazard and Oscar and Demba Ba since January. So they're trying to build not just a new team, but a new way of playing, a new more sort of pass and move and technical team. And it's great. When it works, it's really, really great to watch. And Mata is the key to that. His level of consistency is unbelievable. His influence on Chelsea is exactly the same as Bale on Tottenham, as Robin van Persie was when he first went to United. Now, he's tailed off a little bit lately, but, you know, his impact was incredible. And also Luis Suarez at Liverpool. He is a keynote player, the keynote player, really, at Chelsea. His assists are incredible. His strike rate is good. He is now taking on the mantle from Frank Lampard of being a free-scoring midfielder. And it's fantastic. Some of the interplay is wonderful. And it all comes from Mata. Oscar has tired towards the end of the season. He's dropped off. Hazard is a bit OTT at times, tries to do too many tricks, too many touches. He has brilliant flashes. But the level of consistency for Oscar and for Hazard is nowhere near what Mata is producing week in, week out. If next season, in their second season, with all the experience of their first term at Chelsea, they can provide some of the same consistency, I think Chelsea are really going to be a force with, especially if they get a new striker in who can link up and join in the interplay with the three amigos.
Is Demba Ba then not good enough for you, Rob, in terms of being that striker, maybe playing in front of that front three?
I'm afraid he's not. No, I'd say the same for Victor Moses. Victor Moses looks like a Wigan player playing for Chelsea. Demba Ba looks like a Newcastle player playing for Chelsea. They're good players. You see them in a lesser team and they stand out. They come to Chelsea and, okay, it's their first season, so maybe I'm being a bit harsh. Maybe next season they'll both flourish even more as they get used to their environment and what's expected at Chelsea and what's required at Chelsea. Right now, judging us from what we've seen this season, I have to say that neither Barr or Moses have measured up to what to expect from a Champions League team, a team that was Champions of Europe just 11 months ago.
Rob, I know you're a very busy man, so just a very quick last couple of questions before we let you go, if that's all right. Just on Rafa Benitez and his return to Anfield this weekend as well, what kind of a reception will Rafa be getting? Will it be more cheers from the Liverpool fans, do you think, than the Chelsea fans?
Well, yes, I think there'll clearly be more of a warm reception from the Liverpool fans. I was at Fulham last night and the Chelsea contingent was singing, "We don't want Rafa, and we don't like Rafa, Rafa don't like us, we don't care, we only love Chelsea FC." So that song is still going around. The only reason the really hate-filled protests against Rafa at Chelsea have stopped is because he said he's leaving at the end of the season. So it's as if Chelsea fans have said, "Oh, well, thank goodness for that. We don't need to berate him anymore. He's going and we can't wait." At Liverpool, he'll always be remembered for winning the Champions League and in such dramatic fashion, you know, 3-0 down and then coming back to win it on penalties was just like one of the most unbelievable comebacks in European football history. So, yeah, he'll be fondly remembered for that. But even at Liverpool, the fans think he lost the plot towards the end, and it was more about Rafa than it was about Liverpool. And I know because through the world of Twitter, you get that back from Liverpool fans. Cause there's been a bit of teasing that Rafa's been a red agent sent to undermine Chelsea. And the Liverpool fans love all that. But ask him if they'd like him back. And he floated the idea himself the other week, saying one day he'd like to go back to Liverpool. And the polite response from the Anfield faithful is, "Thanks, but no thanks."
Thanks, but no thanks. Who goes to Chelsea after Rafa? We're hearing talks of Mourinho might turn that job down. We're also hearing Pellegrini, the Malaga manager, could be involved in potentially coming to Chelsea as well. Who do you see as being the front runner at the moment, Rob?
Well, I don't think there's a front runner at the minute. I think there's probably four main names on the list in front of Bruce Buck to be handed up to Roman Abramovich. Jose Mourinho, and he definitely wants to go back. Jürgen Klopp, who's at Borussia Dortmund, Manuel Pellegrini, who's at Malaga, and we had a story today, and a couple of the other papers had a story in England today saying that Chelsea have already spoken to Pellegrini, and you're probably looking at the likes of maybe Gus Hiddink or Henkes, or there's one other name who's been put in the frame. Klopp, Mourinho. Oh, David Moyes has had a mention, but I just can't see that. So I think there's a shortlist of probably four. And what Chelsea's modus operandi in recent years has been is to talk to three or four of them, see if they're interested, see what their views are, see what their input is about what they'd like to do at the club, see what the deal would be, and then Mr. Abramovich wakes up one morning and goes, "Ding, I've decided it's going to be Jose Mourinho," or "I've decided it's going to be Roberto Martinez." And it's the whim of one man, how he feels on the day when he decides to make a decision. And if anybody tells you they know who the next manager of Chelsea is, call him Pinocchio, because only one man knows, and it's Roman Abramovich, and he will decide on a whim, on a day. He'll do all the research, he'll listen to all the pros and cons. He will decide.
And we wait with bated breath to find out who will be taking the hot seat once Rafa Benitez leaves at the end of this season. Even if he potentially, then Roman could wake up and say, "Actually, we'll keep Rafa." Who knows what's going to happen at Chelsea. Rob, a pleasure to have you on the show today, mate. Absolutely love talking to you all things English football, and taking some time out for joining us is greatly appreciated, man.
Take care, Ollie. All the best.
Cheers, Rob. Thanks very much. Rob Beasy there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Chelsea and their game last night. And of course, the new kit that's been put out, worldfootballdaily.com. We have the pictures already up on the website.